Morning, everybody.
Morning.
How are you doing?
Really well.
Gray out, raining, but it's nice in here. It's warm in here. Our furnace is still working. It's good to see. Let's start today with page 4, please. And let's stand. Page 4. Father in heaven, thank you for the beautiful day, Lord, the opportunity to come to your house to worship you. Thanks, Lord, for those that made it out. Thank you for the good week, Lord, we had. Keeping up with things, work we've got done, safety, Lord, provision, all that you do for us, Lord. Thank you so much. I pray for our nation, Lord. I pray that our nation wouldn't turn its back on Israel, Lord, right now. Right now of all, Lord, we need to be standing beside her all the way. But, Lord, there are people that are waning. They don't want any part of it anymore, Lord. But these are your chosen people, Lord. I just pray our nation would continue to stand for them. Be with us, Lord, in your church. Help us to continue to stand for our Savior, Lord, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and our precious God, Lord, in heaven. Be with us today, Lord, as we go into your word today with our pastor, Lord. Especially for him today, Lord, I ask you to guide him, you direct him. You give him the power he needs to preach your message today, Lord. Again, Lord, like always, I pray that it'll fall on ears that really need to hear it, Lord. I pray, Lord, that if a decision needs to be made, that person might get right. Love my church family, Lord. Good to see them all here today, Lord. Pray for just a great day, Lord. Thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Let's see. Announcements now. Here we go. Communion today, obviously. You can see by the table. Don't forget, tonight is our evening service. We got more classical foundation scripture passages, which are very good. Deacon meeting on the 11th. We have church work day the 13th at 8. Doug's going to come up here just for a couple seconds after I get done. Personal evangelism on the 16th. Lutheran Home's going to meet the 14th at 2:30. Kids church today is for 4 to 12. Don't forget that. Check with Danny on dates in April for men's Bible study. Our April fellowship team, which is coming up, is going to be Kim and Sharon. And right now, Doug wants to come up here and just give a few words on our work day.
Morning, everyone. Whole year has gone by again. Our work days come up fast. So that's going to be this Saturday, the 13th, 8 a.m., bright and early. You can be here, but you can come later, too. Feel free as you have the time to work out for you to come. But 8 a.m., we're going to have coffee and refreshments, breakfast food. We'll have at least donuts and muffins. I know that for sure, but there might be some other items. So get us energized to get going. And we're mainly going to work outside. We have a few things in the church that we're going to do. We're going to rearrange the furniture in the back for one. I know Jason has kind of took charge of that. So, Jason, is there anything on that you want to share? Okay, yep, we'll give you the details on Saturday when you show up. And just a little hint and a little helper here to bring some tools along with you. You might need rakes or hand trimmers. I got it written down here so I think of the things that might come in handy. But trash bags might come in handy too. We're going to police the grounds, any debris over the winter and leaves that we might gather up. But we should have bags here at the church also to cover that. And also gloves. I know that's important with me and pastor too. Diabetic, you know, we get our hands nicked and it takes a while for them little pricks to heal up, the diabetics. But just bring gloves or any protection you might need to work outdoors. So we're going to do the tree trimming, mainly the pine trees in the back of the property, and pick up the gravel and shove it back on the drive from the grass from snow plowing over the winter. But just the things that need attention. So hope to see you there, and we'll look forward to working together.
Thank you, Doug. One mistake, imagine that. Deacon meeting is going to be the 25th of the month, and we have a membership or a baptismal class.
Baptismal membership class next Sunday night, if there's interest.
Next Sunday night, there's interest. Baptismal and membership class is going on there. Let's see. Guys, if you'll come forward, we'll take up the morning offering. And while they're coming, pastor's thought for the week, is your life anchored to the solid rock or in sinking sand? So remember. Let's pray. Father, again, so much that we have to be thankful for, Lord. Especially being able to come here today, Lord, to worship you. Chance to sing a few songs. Chance to shake a hand, Lord. Say hi. A hug, whatever it takes, Lord. Building each other up. Our church is nothing more, Lord, than a hospital for sinners, Lord. And we're all here looking for care and a little bit of love. Be a pastor now, Lord, as he's about to speak. And be with us especially now, Lord. We're going to take up an offering. Just ask you to be with the gift and the giver. In Jesus' name, amen. Sing, and then we have a men's group coming up. See, page 82, please.
Praise him, for he is thy health and salvation.
sing the last.
Praise to the Lord, O let all that is in me adore Him. All that hath life and breath come now with praises for Him. Let the men sound from His people again. Gladly for I we adore Him.
Thank you. We got men's groups going to sing now.
Actually, we need to go on the first row.
First row?
Oh, yeah, pick up the mic here.
What do you think we need?
Getting my assistants in the mic, that would help, yeah. So we're going to do that. This is my favorite, It Is Well With My Soul, number 417. We're going to sing three verses, the first, second, and the last.
Morning 2417. We will sing that third stanza. If you've noticed on here, the man that penned these words was a man named Horatio Spafford, and I'm not going to take great detail to tell you about him, but he lost his family in a shipwreck, and as he passed over the spot where they died, I can get emotional about this, he penned these words. But the key today, are things well with your soul today regarding Jesus? We know this, He has control of all things. If we'll yield to Him today, it can be well with our soul. So let's sing this together today. The third stanza, we left it out. How can we leave it out of this wonderful hymn?
My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin, not in part, but the is nailed to His cross, and I bear no more.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord,
oh my soul.
It is well.
It is well.
With my soul.
With my soul.
It is well.
That's the case in your life and mine today.
Give me just a moment here to get reshuffled just a bit. I want to greet you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. What a wonderful day it is to gather as the saints in anticipation for what lies ahead, but also what we have today in the present as we have fellowship with one another and with our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. As I say too often, and maybe you need to tell me about it, but this is dress rehearsal for heaven. But before we go to the dress rehearsal, I need to turn this on. There we go. Hopefully now we're all set.
But it is. It's seriously. And today we have the Lord's Supper, communion here as well. And I'm going to be teaching a little bit about that today. That's another great reason to come again to gather with the saints. I'll talk about that a little as we go through this. But there will be a finality to communion. And that finality will take place when we're in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ with all the believers for all time in heaven. And we will no longer have to remember Jesus in this way, but we'll know Him in His very presence by the prints in His hands, the thrusted hole in His side, and again where He was spiked to the cross for your sins and for mine. So this is something to be excited about today. I pray again that we'll have an influence and an impact as reflectors of the light of the world, who is Jesus, on those around us today. The title of our message is Looking Forward to the End of Communion as We Know It. And so we'll explore that topic this morning for a little bit. I notice we have more empty seats than usual today. I know there are people that may be struggling. I know we need to pray for Gene Rock today, who came to services this morning and was having some difficulties with health, and therefore he may be at the hospital at this time. We don't know. We know that God knows, but we just ask Him to again intervene in Gene's situation, whatever that may be today. But we know there's a lot of people that are hurting. It's not just about health, but a lot of these things are spiritual needs. But let me assure us this: God's word is sufficient. Because God is sufficient to help us with whatever situation we find ourselves in today. So greetings in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to have a short time here, a silent prayer, where we can adjust our hearts again to worship Jesus today. Let Him know that He's worthy, that He has great worth in your life. And if that isn't the case today, ask Him to help us to get it right. That this is another day of His grace where He's saying, come to Me, but I'm here to help you. And so that, again, we would explore the great things that Jesus has in store for us. Welcome, and if you're visiting today, we're always glad there's no strangers here. I want to meet you, and I know the rest of the flock here at Fruitland does as well. So with that said, let's go to prayer briefly, and then I'll follow with a short pastoral prayer, and we'll dig into the meat here today of the Word of God. Let us pray together. Our Father God, we come humbly into Your presence this morning. We thank You today for who You are. Lord, none of us in our human capacities can fully explore Your greatness. But Lord, when our hearts have been opened to you and we see everything, beginning with the creation and all the rest of the things that you have ordained in the world around us and in the time, again, that you are the Father and author of, Lord, we stand in awe of you. And so today, Lord, definitely you are number one, or should be in our lives, but you are number one. You don't need us. But we acknowledge today, Lord, what a wonderful God you are that has a personal desire to walk with each and every one of us. Thank you today, Lord, for that very thing. You're really the reason that we exist today and that we come. Lord, this is about you, but you see fit to allow us to be involved and you want to work with us. And we thank you for your institution of the local church today, Lord, where help can be found for the hurting, where the message of your saving grace is faithfully proclaimed. Lord, today we pray not only for the pulpit here at Fruitland and for the events here that take place this morning as we study and commune with you today, but we pray for other Bible-believing teaching groups that are meeting today, for pastors that are faithfully proclaiming the living gospel and the transforming power of the gospel to a needy world. Lord, we pray for our community around us today outside of our walls. We pray that they would come within maybe the walls, but that we would go out to them to reach out to them and show them, once again, your love. May your light be reflected through us as the light of the world. So, Lord, we know that there are people passing by here this morning. There are people that are in their homes, and they are suffering from various things, Lord, that affect our lives in a broken world. I pray, Lord, that they would see a testimony of the believers that meet here this morning when the lot is filled with cars and people are here and are present. I pray, Lord, you'd send them our way and that you would help and cause us to encounter them in the paths which they walk in life, O Lord. So today we think about those things. Lord, we also think of our own number. We have some that are not here that normally could be or would be. Lord, we know that Gene Rock, we lift him before your throne. We know he was having some difficulties this morning when he came. I don't know what the status of that is, Lord, but you do. But I pray once again, your will be done for all these situations. But Lord, that you would again raise up and heal those that are suffering, Lord. We know, Lord, in your sovereign time and will, you have a purpose for all things. But I do lift him and others today that are hurting. We give you praise, Lord, for some that are recovering or have recovered from physical ailments. But, Lord, today we also are more concerned about people's spiritual ailments. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, that you're the loving great physician who gives us perfect care if we'll submit, Lord, to your protocol and to what you have for our lives. So, Lord, while we may not always be healed from all the diseases physically, we know that through you, you have healed us when we have called upon your name spiritually. And Lord, one day we will be free of this broken world and in perfect fellowship with you for all eternity. Now, Lord, help us to be forward-minded. Help us to be positive today because the Christian really has nothing to be negative about. Lord, the things that we see going around us in our nation and in the world, these are all prophesied. Lord, we take confidence when we see these things. Oh, we're troubled. We hate it for those that we love. But Lord, we take perfect confidence that you are unwinding and going about your plan, Lord, as you see fit. And so, Father, we ask you again to enlighten us and to help us to be a part of the program that you have in the days that yet remain here for this world. So, Lord, now we're going to go into the Word for a little bit. May you speak to our hearts through the Spirit. Lord, you know me up here. I'm just a weak, fallible, shaky, sweaty palm person. I'm not even capable of any of this, Lord. But hopefully, through my frailties, the Spirit will work, just as he did in Paul, and said that when we are weak and we admit that weakness, then we are strong through you. So I ask today that you lift me up another time, Lord, to proclaim the Word. What a joy it is to do that, Lord. And that this teaching, Lord, from your word will transform us. It will renew our minds and help us to be in a closer walk and relationship with you today. Lord, I pray for one that could be here that is apart from you, never have been born again, never have placed their sins under your blood and experienced new life. I pray today might be that day that you would call them, if that is to be, Lord. And we'll just give all the rest of this to you for your honor and glory. And I ask these things in the powerful, most powerful, most wonderful name, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Excuse me. Well, friends in Christ, and I do mean that this morning, Hopefully we're all brothers and sisters in Christ here as well, but at least I'll be your friend. And anyway, as we anticipate commemorating this communion service, which we practice here at Fruitland once a month, we'll talk about that a little bit here later this morning, but I think there's much more that is involved with this than what we sometimes allow or even talk about. So I intend to talk about those things this morning. But what this is about is commemorating the Lord's Supper or communion that Jesus instituted there the night before he was betrayed with his friends, his disciples, around the table. But I wonder this morning if we might consider for a few moments the seriousness surrounding communion. And I do believe it is very serious what this is about and what it involves. But also this morning as we consider that we would consider our inadequacies as we partake of it. Folks, this is all about Jesus, okay? And it's about remembering what he did for us. But it's also about fellowship, because that's what Jesus had with his disciples. And that fellowship involves all of us, one another. Today, I pray that the walls of things that might separate believers would be brought down, that they'd be brought down under the context of the Word of God, and that, again, we would experience a little bit on this side of eternity what we will see in totality when we're gathered with Jesus in heaven. Anyone looking forward to that day? Amen. This is going to be something wonderful. We have no reason to be negative. We have every reason to be euphoric about what lies ahead for the believer. I better go back to my notes or this will turn too lengthy. So what we experience here, though, lacks the ultimate goal of when it will be presented in finality of our complete and perfect participation in the fellowship with Jesus and fellow believers in the full presence of all the redeemed, never needing to be remembered again, but witnessed in perfect fellowship forevermore for all eternity. This is what we look forward to as we participate today in the Lord's Supper or around the Lord's table. The last communion service will happen at the marriage supper of the Lamb. That's an event that's prophesied in Scripture, and it is a time that is going to be about completed marriage, a complete unification. Two factors in that I'll teach on just a little bit this morning. I think some of you know this or have maybe heard it from me before, but there are going to be two great things that are taking place in heaven at the marriage supper of the Lamb. First, God will be reunited in perfect fellowship with his wife, who the Bible proclaims as being the believers of the nation of Israel. That will be affected at that time. Today, God is separated from his believers, his wife Israel, over differences. And we know that those things happen in our human relationships as well. It isn't that God has ever left Israel. It's that Israel, the wife of God, has departed from him temporarily. But the Bible also speaks of another husband and wife relationship. And today we as the church are what's known as the bride of Christ. We are anticipating a wedding to be consummated at this marriage supper of the Lamb, with Jesus being the groom. And so the end unification of both of those things is that all believers for all time will be reunited in heaven to pass into eternity. And I'll teach on some of the dating of this morning. But we are going to anticipate something like has never happened before with humanity and the Lord. But it's going to be perfect fellowship forever in totality in the presence of Jesus Christ and God the Father. What a wonderful thing that is to look forward to. And that is all effected. But this points us to this. We as the church today, awaiting unification with our groom, who is Jesus Christ, for all eternity, a marriage that will last through all eternity. This is what we picture here today when Jesus paid the price for our sins on Calvary's cross. So this is a vivid reminder today. Anyway, the last communion service will happen at the marriage supper of the Lamb at the end of the tribulation period right before the Battle of Armageddon. Now, I won't go into all that this morning, but you can talk to me. But there is a timeline that the Bible shows, I believe, in this situation. So before Jesus comes back to conquer and defeat the forces of evil and Satan at the end of the tribulation period, a time that is yet to come, I believe that the saints of all time will be gathered in heaven for this marriage supper of the Lamb. And then when Jesus comes back and sets up his earthly kingdom here And that's a transitory period where believers will be both in heaven but also able to come back here with Christ to rule and reign with him. These are some neat teachings, but this will have been instituted. And again, we will be firmly united for all eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ. What a wonderful thing we have to look forward to. These are fantastic events that are to come. We'll be united with our Savior in heaven. So what we do here today is inadequate. And let me explain that in just a minute in the light of the Scriptures. But it is also something that causes us to be steered heavenward and how we operate. And the end result, again, of our inadequacy today, but for what it is, it may direct us to the vivid memorial of what Jesus has done for us in his body and blood on the cross of Calvary. Hear this. Communion should be the center, privately and corporately, of the reminder of Christ's work in our lives. Only we know if it is, personally. But I admit, we don't always think that way when we could. Let me give you just a couple things to think about. And no, I'm not saying we need to change anything here at Fruitland, but maybe we do, and maybe we do privately. You know, Jesus, we'll see this in 1 Corinthians 11 today, says, as often as you drink it, he uses the word drink, but as often as you consider this fellowship, it can be done when we eat and drink with every meal. We consume liquid, and we eat, again, solid food. And we can think about the body and blood whenever we do that. It's not wrong, Christians, to think about Jesus at least three times a day when we're reminded by the belly. Okay? But we're inadequate. Can we admit that today? Even though I admit to you, I try to thank God for my food and for what he has given me multiple times a day and to think about what he did on the cross. But that's a vivid reminder if we'll what? If we'll take it. Now, when we talk about the local church, I personally think we're inadequate about that. I think once a month is not what God ordained in the Bible. I think he ordained it to be every time we meet, that we're reminded about Jesus. Now, we may not be able to gather around the table, but I think you know it's my goal. I don't come up here and preach Reader's Digest messages. I'm here to preach the living Word of God that calls us to what? Think about Christ's body and blood, what he did for us. Every week, every message, there is a tie to the salvation that is available to man in Jesus Christ. If I ever fail to do that, I need to be corrected and helped, because that's why we're here. But could it be like in Acts chapter 2 and the early days of the church? Whenever they got together, what was the center of what they did? They broke bread and shared the cup. They remembered the body and blood of Christ. So, you know, the point is, we do it, but maybe we don't do it vividly. I think this, folks, there's always room for improvement. You agree with that? Both personally and corporately as the local church. Anyway, enough said on that, but the early church had it differently. And that is a subject that we could debate. And again, it's not a reason to have a battle or to split, but it's something to think about. And that's what this is all about this morning. Anyway, but as we look forward to when it is complete in heaven and the sweet fellowship that we will have in the very presence of Jesus, that gets me excited. So today, a look at communion and the marriage supper of the Lamb and the surrounding events. So the first thing, three little points this morning, is the invitation. The invitation. Turn on your devices or in your Bible this morning, first of all, to Matthew chapter 22. We're going to look at verses 1 through 14. This is when Jesus, again, instituted communion, or the Lord's Supper. And it was at a literal supper before the Passover where Jesus invited his disciples and Jesus explained what was going on here. And we're going to be looking at Matthew 22, verses 1 through 14. So let's quickly peruse this passage. And, of course, it says here in verse 1, that's Matthew chapter 22, 1 through 14, and Jesus answered and spoke unto them again by parables and said, by the way, a parable is what? A parable is an analogy lesson where Jesus says, such and such is like this. He's giving the disciples here and us a picture of something that we can grab a hold of. A parable is not always based on truth as far as what's presented, but it is based on truth in the message that it gives to us, okay? And here's what he is telling the disciples. He said, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king which made a marriage for his son. By the way, if you've ever been married in here, you know that marriage is a big deal, at least for most of us. I remember when Kim and I got married almost 46 years ago, the last 6 months probably before the marriage. And where is Kim this morning? I better be careful. Oh, there she is. Kim, it can be a volatile time, can it? You remember, Kim? I think we traded rings back and forth a couple times. Kim, is that true? Or I love you so much, dear. She is the greatest. It's been good. But preparation, right, Kim? What kind of things did we do? It was important, wasn't it, Kim? August 26, 1978. That's the hottest day ever. 300 people in the church, blazing hot. And then after the whole thing, our honeymoon was over at the Howard Johnson's the first night over in Iowa City. It's no longer Howard Johnson's, but I'll tell you what, that was the hottest day I ever remember. But it's been good ever since, too. So, big storm that night, wasn't there, Kim? Maybe that had some. Kim, if I'm telling things wrong, you let me have it. I know, yeah. But Jesus is talking about, he's illustrating what is to come, and he's illustrating it for the fellowship, again, after he has gone back into eternity, into heaven, and what is going to take place in the church age. He's giving a parable. Verse 3, and set forth his... Did I read that? A marriage for his son, okay? And sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they what? They would not come. By the way, I'm not a legalistic preacher, but I have found in my experience, in all my years, that one of the poorest attended services that you will ever have in churches happens to fall on the day you serve communion. Have any of the rest of you ever observed that? Because to many Christians even, this is what? It's not important, okay? Even though Jesus says it's important. But what he's giving the analogy of is, he says, I'm going to invite people to this wedding feast, okay? He invites us into fellowship. Verse 4, again, he sent forth other servants, saying, tell them which are bidden or asked, behold, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen, my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come unto the marriage. But notice what happens in this parable in verse 5. But they did what? Making light of something just means we write it off. We don't see it as important. Jesus is teaching the parallel here. He says, this is how it's going to be. I'm inviting people to become the bride of Christ, to be married to the groom, who is me. And people are going to what? Take it or leave it. We don't want to go to that. Verse 6. Oh, excuse me, I'll finish that. But they made light of it, in verse 5, and went their ways, one to his farm, another to his merchandise. By the way, convenience has a lot to do with how people handle their relationship with Jesus Christ. He's okay, he's good enough to save them, but he's only good enough when it's convenient for them. You agree with me on that? And let's face it, folks, there's a lot of times in our flesh Jesus isn't convenient. But he should be. He should be a priority. Anyway, verse 6, and the remnant took his servants and entreated them spitefully and slew them. Jesus is saying, this is how it's going to be with me. Most people don't want anything to do with me, and they're even going to be against my servants. Jesus said in Matthew 6:33, I'm paraphrasing, he says, in this world, you're going to have trouble. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. He points out exactly how it's going to be. Most people today are not interested in Jesus Christ. They're interested in themselves. Okay? And they're even antagonistical against Jesus Christ. They hate him. They really do, because he's not, say the word, convenient. Convenient. Verse 7, but when the king heard thereof, he was angry, wroth, and he sent forth his armies, and destroyed those murderers and burned up their city. By the way, Jesus was talking in particular at this time to the nation of Israel. Anyone want to recant what's happened to Israel for the last 2,000 years? Right up to this day, God allowed them to be destroyed because they didn't want to have fellowship with him, communion with him. Then saith he to his servants, verse 8, the wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. Go ye therefore into the highways, as many as you shall find, bid to the marriage. By the way, this is the door that opened for us, Gentiles, non-Jews. Excuse me. Jesus said, they won't want to come. I'm going to invite the people that'll come. Praise God. I get all excited about this. I can't hardly control myself. Seriously, though, here it is. Go ye therefore to the highways. Verse 10, so those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good, and the wedding was furnished with guests. Amen, Brother Dave. Jesus came for the outcasts like me. We don't have any royal persuasion. You know, we're not the Jews that God chose as a nation to work with him, even though they rejected him. But anyway, what a great thing. And when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. You see, people there even rejected Jesus. They don't understand what's going on. There's people today, they don't understand what's going on. What's this communion thing? What, you know, does it get me to heaven? No. Jesus gets us to heaven. We just remember him, see? And it's about fellowship with him and one another. Anyway, let's go on. Verse 12. And he saith unto him, friend, how camest thou in hither, not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. By the way, there's going to be a lot of people that stand before Jesus Christ someday that were invited to his wedding. They're going to be standing in front of Jesus at the great white throne of judgment. And like most people, we're going to have something to say. But you know what? I think if you stand there, I will not stand there because I've trusted Christ. His blood's been applied to my sin. But if you stand before that seat, you ain't going to... And I do know proper grammar. You ain't going to have a word to say to Jesus. You're not going to argue with Jesus Christ because you will know, even as you know today, that his way is the right way. And you didn't go to the wedding he called you to. All right, let's go. Then said the king to the servants, 13, bind him hand and foot and take him away and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. He's talking about hell here, see? Great white throne judgment. By the way, Jesus doesn't put anyone in hell. People put themselves in hell. Today, if you're rejecting Jesus' invitation to be his bride, you're headed for hell. Not because Jesus wants it, because you chose it. Okay? Now, here's the key to this whole passage, the last verse. For many are called, but few are chosen. Need I say anything else? The parable stands for itself. Folks, it's the parable of the marriage feast. Many are called, few are chosen. Where are you and I today? But here's the other verse I want to use on the invitation, and then we got to move. John 3:16 is just one of many examples found in Scripture. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten or unique Son, the God-man, that whosoever believeth in him or places their faith and trust in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Key word in that verse this morning under this invitation. That whosoever, there's your invitation to the wedding to be the bride of Jesus Christ. By the way, what do you do with invitations? Well, I have to go off on a cuff. You know, no, you'd expect this from me. But I admit this, I think sometimes I've received invitations to graduations and other things, and I said, Kim, who are these people? Ask me why. You tell me why, okay? Why did I get an invitation? Maybe it was for legitimate reasons, but usually when you're invited, you'll take a... Oh, you're catching on to this too. Jesus doesn't ask you to bring a thing to that wedding except yourself. See? But he's given us an invitation. Now, Kim has a very soft heart. So, oh, I think we need to go to that. I say, but Kim, we don't even know the people. Well, I think it... There's softy. See, Kim is my balance. I love her for that. Jesus invited us. And here's all these people today. They've said no. Think about that. Well, there's the invitation. Now let's go on here. Point two, Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper. It's a memorial and it's temporary. Matthew 26:26 through 29, just a few chapters over. I got to kick her into high gear. Matthew 26, 26 through 29. This is the night before the Passover, the Passover meal. Jesus does the following, in verse beginning with verse 26. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it. That is symbolic for Jesus' body, which he is the bread of life. His body was going to be broken on Calvary's cross for the sins of the world. He broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." By the way, this is a representative icon of who Jesus is. You notice that there are some persuasions in quasi-Christianity that think that by eating or receiving the cup or eating a cracker, that we're literally eating the Lord's body and blood. Wrong. Jesus didn't take a knife and cut a piece of his flesh out in the upper room. He says, "This represents my body, the bread of life." He said, "Take, eat, this is my body." It symbolized his body. He didn't literally take that out. We cannot be saved by eating the bread or drinking the cup. But what we're caused to do, by the way, when you taste something, it does something in your mind. You will either like something you eat or you will not. But what we should be thinking about when we partake of that is what? Where is Jesus in my life? Do I believe these things? It's symbolic, but it has a vivid connotation. Anyway, let's go on. He said, "Take, eat. This is or represents my body." Then he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the new covenant or testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." Remission means what? If you work for the post office, you should know this term. When a letter goes through with a stamp on it, they what? They cancel it. Remission means our sins, when Christ bore them, have been canceled from our account. If that isn't something to give a hallelujah about, I don't know what is. But I'll tell you what, that's what it is. He says, "For the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine." By the way, that's another one. The scripture never refers to the cup as wine. It always refers to it as fruit of the vine. Wine, by its own implication, is fermented, which means it's had yeast, which is a symbol of sin in scripture. The cup that we partake of is juice. That's what Jesus had in front of him. He says it's the fruit of the vine. That he says, "Until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." So Jesus is no longer here vividly with us, but he's causing us to look at this as a memorial to him. But he says what? "I'm going to do it again with you," where? "In my Father's kingdom." And folks, that is the marriage supper of the Lamb. So anyway, that's the second point this morning. Jesus is the center of, but absent from the memorial meal until his Father's kingdom, that's physically, gathering in heaven of all believers before, I believe, the Battle of Armageddon and the beginning of the millennium. And by the way, earth dwellers can be saved during the millennium. But we could go digress into that today. But that thousand-year reign of Christ, when we'll be transitory as believers with him, the earth is going to be back to like it was, at least in part, in Genesis 1. And what that amounts to, there's going to be longevity of life. There will be unsaved people that come into the millennial kingdom. They will also have long lives, but Jesus will be on the throne. They can go to him. But to make this quickly, and you can explore this in Scripture, what I'm presenting to you, I believe, is scriptural. There will be a settlement of what happens during that period. By the way, death will be rare in the millennium. Go back to an old dude named Methuselah. Kim calls me that sometimes. I'm lethargic. How old did old Methuselah? 969. The millennium, milla, meaning thousand, is going to be about a thousand-year reign. But people that are here naturally that don't have the new glorified bodies, again, from the prior events, they will come into the millennial kingdom either by having been saved and survived the tribulation, or they'll have been born of sinners. You see, the Bible speaks to all this, but the point of the matter is what? Jesus is going to have a supper for all the believers when we're yet in heaven, and he's going to show himself, and there will no longer be a need to celebrate this because we'll be there with him present all the time. Dave, hallelujah, right? Amen. And this is the teachings of Scripture. By the way, you will probably go far and wide to find that being taught this morning in churches. You agree with that? But it's in the Bible, so what do we better be doing? Well, for me, I better be getting to going. Point three, the ultimate communion service, the last one, the marriage supper of the Lamb. I already explained, it'll be the restoration of God's wife Israel. It'll be saved in the tribulation. It'll be the completed bride of Christ, which is the church. It's the completed union of God and his people. Revelation 21, 9 through 14. Revelation 21, 9 through 14. So do you understand what we're doing here today is not insignificant? This is very important. Revelation 21, 9 through 17. And there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. He's talking specifically here about the church, excuse me, in this case. And he's showing, again, the Apostle John what is to come. Verse 10, and he carried me away in the Spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. And let's see, I'm going through 14. And had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. That's the Old Testament believers, folks. This is a unification both of the Old Testament believers and the New Testament believers. Verse 13, and on the east three gates, and the north three gates, the south three gates, and the west three gates. Let's see, Wilton Mathematics. Three times. What's that add up to? 12. Well, it doesn't add, it multiplies, right? Or you could add it. Bottom line. Old Testament 12, New Testament 12. Who do you think these are? Well, the apostles. Absolutely. Apostles are built upon the foundation. I had the thing up here this morning. Are you built on the rock? Jesus Christ. The church is built on the rock. The chief cornerstone, who is Christ. Were the stones built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets? Verse 14, and the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And I think we got as far as we're going. So this is what's going to be. It's going to be that great supper. And it's going to be the regathering of God and his people. By the way, I skipped something here that's very important. Revelation 19, 1 through 10. I forgot to read about the actual supper. We're going to have to do this in high gear. Revelation 19, 1 through 10. Here's the marriage supper of the Lamb. Here's the scene in heaven. By the way, praise the Lord. When you hear, I had chills go up my spine when I sang, "It is well with my soul." I have chills go up my spine when I read this text or when I hear Handel's Messiah. And after these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, hallelujah! Salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. By the way, why not give him that credit today on this side of eternity? For true and righteous are his judgments, for he hath judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. By the way, the people that died during the tribulation period for the Lord Jesus Christ say this. You can look at this in Revelation 6. How long, Lord, till you're going to set this straight? Well, he's going to set it straight. Amen. Praise God. Yeah. And again they said, hallelujah, and her smoke rose up forever and ever. By the way, the great whore is the world system. It's the economic, it's the political, it's the religious system that governs this world. It's coming to an end, folks. Yes, it's coming. Jesus will set it right. Are you ready for that? Here we go. And the 24 elders and the four beasts fell down. By the way, notice the numbers here. 24. 12 and 12. Fell down and worshiped God that sat on the throne, saying, amen, hallelujah. And a voice came out of the throne saying, praise our God, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Folks, you want to talk about chills going up your spine.
When we're in this and we see this happen, this is going to be something like we can't even describe. But it's coming. Let us be glad, verse 7, and rejoice and give honor to him. And here it is. For the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. We still have a picture of Kim and myself on our wedding day. And I tell her almost daily. It's in our hall upstairs. We don't get upstairs a lot to bed anymore because we fall asleep in the chairs or on the couch downstairs. But I tell Kim, you are so beautiful, and you haven't changed a bit. And I mean that. She was knockout, and I still think she is. But I think she went far and above on the day of our wedding. That was, well, I don't know if it was the very best. I better be careful I get into that territory. But she's been good, and a bride makes herself ready. Folks, are we ready to meet Jesus? Let's finish this off. For his and his wife hath made herself ready, through verse 10. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. By the way, that's the church that's being talked about here. But not our righteousness. It's the righteousness of God that's been given to us, imputed to us. And he saith unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. Folks, you've had the invitation again this morning. Right? But understand, blessed, blessed. And he saith unto me, these are what? True sayings of God. And I fell at his feet, this is the Apostle John, to worship him. And he said unto me, see thou do it not. An angel. The angel said, don't worship me. Worship God. And that's where we need to be this morning, folks. See thou do it not, because I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Folks, this is coming. This is not insignificant this morning. This is important. Jesus wants it to be. Jason, just a second, because we're really late. Go for it. That's the wedding garment. Exactly. It all fits together. If you'd give me an hour and a half or more to preach, we'd cover all that in depth. But some of this you got to look, but the book fits, folks. This isn't something that's just contrived. It all fits. We're involved in a wedding. We as the bride, are we getting ourselves ready? Is it going to be like Kim where I can come back? Look at her, see. Jesus sees that with us. But I'll tell you, we need to prepare, don't we? Bottom line, deacons, get up here. We better go. Oh, there is one thing I forgot to say. Will you listen to me one more minute? You don't have to turn there this morning, but you know, we always try to sing a hymn or sing a song after the communion service because Jesus did that with his disciples when they met. But did you know that God's going to sing after the marriage supper of the Lamb? Sometime look at Zephaniah 3:17. It's the only place in the Bible where, other than Jesus, it's mentioned that God sings. This all fits together. Isn't that awesome? It is awesome. Yep. I'm coming, guys. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 is where I want to get to. But anyway, you've got the gist of this today. This is an invitation. This is a rehearsal for what's to come, if you're a believer. If you're not a believer, Jesus says, what? Come, come. And so without further ado, I'm going to ask Lonnie this morning as we, again, vividly portray what Jesus did for us in his body and in his blood. I'm going to ask Lonnie, again, to thank God and thank the Lord Jesus Christ that he obeyed his Father and died for the sins of the world. His body was broken for us. Just let me say this, this does not save you. It is a remembrance for us to take a hold of about the wedding that we talked about this morning. I always say this in 1 Corinthians 11, if you study the passage, it said, don't take it unworthily. The basis of it here is this. This can be dangerous for us. If we're not saved, it's not going to do anything for you. Today, Jesus wants you to receive him and to place your sins under his blood. But the thing is, folks, and it's about fellowship.
I can't preach in a year all the things the Bible says about our fellowship with the Lord. But we know this, in these moments of quietness, we can bring to Him what? Our weaknesses, our sins, and ask, say, Lord, I know I'm forgiven, but I want to be cleansed of all this. And I want to be right with my neighbor, with my fellow believers, and with people, and also with you. But if that isn't the case today, it's better to pass this by and see that happen in your life. But otherwise, enjoy the memorial of what is to come. Brother Lonnie, I've talked enough.
Father, thank you for the message today, Lord, we heard. Going over the marriage supper of the Lamb, Lord. Considering communion that we're going to partake of here shortly, Lord. Thank you, Father, for the gift of your Son. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for being that sacrifice.
Yes.
You bore the sins of the world, Lord, even though you sinned not. You were a pure person. That's the only way that we could ever find a way that someone would sacrifice for us. Thank you for the crap that we're about to take, Lord, representing the precious body of our Savior, Lord. All that he went through, Lord, and then ultimately hanging on that cross, Lord. We just thank you for him, for his love for us more than anything. Be us as we partake, Lord, consider all things that are
Amen.
Heard this recorded earlier in the Gospel of Matthew when we looked at that rendition of it. We find also that the Apostle Paul was the last one who received these directives from the Holy Spirit through God the Father. And this is what he said in 1 Corinthians 11. He said, it's recorded, and when he had given thanks, that means Jesus, he, Jesus, broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Same manner also when he took the cup. This time I'm going to ask Denny if he would again cause us to consider the first blood of Jesus and how this fits in again today with our connection and reconnection to God. Denny.
Well, as usual, you got something to say. I don't, but God does.
Yeah.
Out of Psalms 19, verse 14. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing to him. Oh Lord, my rock and my redeemer.
Amen.
And Father, again, we just thank you for this opportunity, Lord, to privileges that we do have, Lord, to come before you, hopefully humbly, Lord, and to seek in you, Lord, with our hearts, Lord. And this morning, Lord, may as we are gathered all around here, Lord, together, as we focus on what you have done for us, Lord. And too, Lord, while we think about that, Lord, have we thought about the cost? The cost that cost you, Lord, the suffering of your Son, Lord, for people like us. So, Lord, may our hearts be stirred this morning, Lord. May they be drawn to you closer, more than ever, Lord. We are a day closer to being with you, Lord. And so, Lord, help me, help us all, Lord, see, do you want to do your will. Now, Lord, as I end, Lord, changes, Lord, may each one of us ask you to change us and to make us more like you. Now, Lord, bless the elements. Again, draw us closer to you and help us to see how serious this is. In Jesus' name, amen.
Important to remember that too. It's not Paul here all, but Jesus came as a servant. He served the disciples. We all serve one another and love him as we serve him. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament or the New Covenant or the New Program. Now that is guaranteed or written in my blood. This do as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. So today, as we prepare to depart from our rehearsal for the marriage supper of the Lamb, I invite you today, if you're in fellowship with God and one another, to join hands in the center aisle. We're going to sing, Blessed Be the Tie That Binds. I'll dismiss us with the Aaronic benediction. What a wonderful day it is.